You're listening to Longwoods Radio, your healthcare source for ideas, new policies, and best practices. The following is a Breakfast with the Chief session from December of 2008. Reflecting on their tour of Australia and New Zealand, Murray Martin and Cliff Nordell discussed the public versus private hospital debate.
Well, thank you very much. I had several people this morning ask me, well, how did we end up going to Australia and what was the purpose of our visit? And it's actually about 14 months ago now since Cliff and I went down under. And it started actually in the summer when the Change Foundation was looking at having a study tour. And as it had turned out the year before, my board had renewed my contract for another 5 years, but also said, why don't you take a mini sabbatical for about 5 or 6 weeks and go somewhere and experience something else in healthcare. So I wasn't quite sure that they thought I was looking awfully haggard and needed a rest. But anyways, I thought a lot about what would really interest me in terms of doing something different, and what I've always wondered about with all the ongoing discussion about the possibility of private hospital care in Canada as to what the impact of that would be on our public hospital system. So this seemed like an ideal opportunity to actually check out in a country that was similar to ours in many ways and actually visit a number of places to experience the impact of private hospitals on public hospitals. If you've read our article, it says in it that the together Cliff and I have over 70 years of healthcare experience. One is 39 years and one is 37 years, and I'm the younger, so you could figure that out. So I was actually worried this morning when I asked Cliff that it didn't. I was worried it might add up to 80 years. 70 sounds bad enough. But we both have worked our entire careers in the public hospital system, so you could argue it would be very difficult for us to be unbiased in terms of our view of what we did find. But we do feel that we went down with open minds and really did want to find out more about the dynamic and how the private hospital system impacted onto public hospitals. So as I said, in terms of there's a lot of similarities between Canada and Australia and New Zealand's systems, obviously with Australia and Canada, they're both vast geographic countries with sea-to-sea landscapes. And so in terms of with the cultural similarities, it certainly just seemed the appropriate place to take a look at a comparable system. So this is just a little bit of the data in terms of population comparisons, et cetera, life expectancies, the usual metrics which show a great deal of similarity between our systems or amongst the three different systems. Healthcare expenditures is always another metric that we all look at, and as everyone knows, number one is consistently for decades now the U.S., but if you look at Canada and Australia, they're in relative ballpark terms, very, very close together in terms of what we spend in total on healthcare. In terms of Australia, like Canada, is broken up into jurisdictions, and rather than provinces, they have states. So there are six states and two territories, and the really interesting difference, though, the difference, I'll just say, on New Zealand is New Zealand, because of the size of it, is run as one national system. So there's no provincial level that goes right from the federal level right down to the district health board. So the population of New Zealand is about the same as British Columbia, and geographically, New Zealand is about the size of Vancouver Island. So if you take everybody that lives in BC and put them on Vancouver Island, you'd have New Zealand. So that might be an interesting thought, actually. And then maybe we could hope the island would drift away. I only say that having lived in British Columbia for 10 years. So in terms of some of the comparabilities between the systems, the substantive comparabilities are the fact that at the very bottom, the 70-30 split total healthcare expenditures, both Canada and Australia and New Zealand, about 70% of the expenditures are in the public system and 30% in the private. The big difference, though, is when you look at the private side, the 30% private, there's a substantial difference on what that 30% is spent on. In Canada, as you know, there are no private hospitals other than, I guess, the Sholdice Clinic, the hospital system is within the public domain. That is not the case in Australia and New Zealand, that 30% includes a substantial number of private hospitals. I can't remember the exact number. It's 153 or something like that. So a substantial number. The other interesting thing about the private hospitals is that in Australia, religious order hospitals are private hospitals. So in Australia, St. Michael's or St. Joe's would be private hospitals. And they actually behave like private hospitals in terms of the kind of dynamics that we followed through. So those are the substantial differences. And Cliff and I were talking this morning, how does the Canadian system rebalance then on that 30%? And we didn't drill down to the bottom of that, but it appears things like dental services and drugs are more insured in Australia than in Canada. So that, as we know, in Canada, dental services and a lot of drugs is through private insurance. There's more of that in the public system. So obviously it's a trade-off of what they as a population have decided. The other interesting difference in terms of is the roles of the governments. And particularly in looking at Australia, the federal government in Australia and the state government are both involved in health care funding. But the federal government actually is responsible for the medical component. So physicians, they don't have an OHIP equivalent at the provincial level. They actually bill the federal government. So that creates an interesting dynamic for any kind of planning when the state government actually funds hospitals. So that trying to create an alignment between what the state is doing and what the federal government is doing is very, very challenging for them. And it also presents physicians with potentially two leverage opportunities in terms of when they're working at both levels. So from what we saw, that would be the worst nightmare scenario to actually have both levels of government involved at the level that they are, because it's very difficult then in health policy planning to figure out who's leading and who's actually following. In terms of different types of hospitals, similar to Canada, but as I said, where we list as an example Catholic hospitals, they in actual fact are private hospitals in the U.S. Cliff brought his camera along, and we did try to get a picture of a few of the hospitals that we did visit, and that was for the purpose of auditing with our board to ensure we actually did go and we actually did see hospitals. So that was this. But the other thing we wanted to show by it, certainly they had some very nice facilities. We did visit some very, very nice hospitals throughout our time there. So when we went around to the number of hospitals that we visited, we asked a series of questions. And we tried to create some consistency everywhere we went so that we were trying to create or to accumulate some data on what our findings were. So what we started off with, and we just run through them, do public and private hospitals compete for healthcare professionals? I'll just let you read through them. But we as I said, used this as a template that really helped us through our conversation with all of the people that we visited. I think there was 8 questions in total. How are private hospital services incorporated into regional planning? Issues about quality, issues about do providers work in both? And the last question was, as it says, if your decision to make, should Canada allow a privately funded hospital system to start up? And we also viewed the literature, and that's over to Cliff.
Well, good morning. Each of our sessions at the hospitals would last anywhere from an hour and a half to 2 hours, and we would have an opportunity to visit the facilities, do a little tour, eat in the cafeterias, and so on. Both during and after the tour, even the week before, we were reading the newspapers, trying to understand a little bit about, you know, what the public issues were. And you can see the lists and lists of things that I personally collected, if you were up on the screen here, indicates this is of important interest to the public. I think the difference between coverage here and there is there's a greater edge to the media stories. If you go to Sydney and read the newspapers there, you will find there's a lot of controversy in the media. They seem to love it. They feed on the negative stories that might be unearthed. And it creates enormous challenges for the individual hospital and the bureaucrats inside the ministries of health, who are really challenged by the political gamesmanship that occurs as a result of media coverage. Well, what's the difference? And I think this poster kind of highlights there is a fairly big difference. Inside the John Faulkner Hospital in Melbourne, this is a small facility, about 147 beds. It has an emergency department. This is the sign in the department. Private hospital, you have insurance when you go there, but you're still going to pay at least $200, plus any difference for the services with what your insurance coverage includes, and then the insurance reimbursement on top of that. So there is a difference, and you're paying cash at the time that you're there with your credit card or real money. I think the other piece that you might want to know is that the ER operates largely at the convenience of the hospital. When they're full, it closes down, diverts patients, and there really is no consequence to the private hospitals for shutting down their ER. The publics do not have that opportunity. Not all privates have an ER, but probably about a third of them might. And some of them are actually quite substantial private facilities, like the Cabarini Catholic Hospital in Melbourne. Well, we spent a fair bit of time thinking about the human resource questions, and you could see those really were half of them, and how were they actually trying to deal with some of their issues in the context of their system, which does come across when you get inside and start looking at it as being quite fragmented and not coordinated. Having these two, not unconnected, but somewhat siloed systems of private and public makes for interesting dynamics in the system. There are many different providers. Public hospitals are either at full capacity or, in fact, they're over capacity with substantial waiting lists. They have very similar problems of not as comprehensive community-based services as they would like to have, long-term care bed problems, just very, very similar to what we would experience. Our issues around human resources rested on the issues shown on the screen. Lots of competition. But then again, the resources are scarce, so you expect that. Always looking for nurses. Do a lot of offshore recruiting as well, particularly among the Asian countries. They will compete amongst each other, and certainly private looks to the public to actually recruit their nurses from. Compensation, though, is very, very similar across the board. Regional planning, it's very, very comprehensive for the public system. And as our article mentions, when it comes to counting the services for the public or for the private system in the overall schema, it's under an other column. It's almost, everybody knows there's this huge system out there, but somehow in the planning, they do not worry about it. Patient safety monitoring was important to us. We asked questions about it. Clearly more comprehensive in the public. And a strong sense that the privates, which, by the way, share the same physicians, so there's really no quality issues around the medical practice that would be different between the two. And I think privates have an easier go of it because they're largely surgical centers, largely doing elective work. They don't have the busyness of many of the medical patients that are coming in, clogging the ERs and creating ALC issues for them. And we still got the sense, though, that they weren't quite as worried about issues of quality as the public might, because those end up in the newspapers. We also talked about what were the important issues to them, and I'll show you those in a moment. So competition is not around salary. Unions negotiate with the local state governments what those wage rates are going to be, and the privates pick them up. They just pay the same scale systems. They'll add a bit in terms of maybe additional time off. There might be some other perks that are added in there. There's a lot of agency staff, both organizations, and in some cases the agency staff used by privates will be people who are employed full-time in the public system who are finding an opportunity to make a little more by working for an agency. The CEOs are recruiting.